Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday afternoon. And I got to tell you something. I read this past weekend an amazing book. Now, it's by Cheryl Atkinson, and so, in all candor, I expected a great book. I'm not sure that I envisioned a book as amazing as this one. It's called Slanted, and it is subtitled How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. And so thrilled to welcome Cheryl to the show. Cheryl, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for the compliment, and thank you for having me.
Well, it is a fascinating, although a chilling book.
I guess that's true, you know, and I think that, on the other hand, information is power, and as chilling as the information is, that when people share it and become familiar with it, they know something's broken in the news, but when they get more familiar with the reasons behind it, it gives us the opportunity to maybe do something about it.
Okay, so for folks who are consumers of news, they look at the news, and I know I hear these stories about the good old days and Walter Cronkite this and Walter Cronkite that, but the difference seemed to be, at least during the Cronkite era, most of America was not aware of his particular bias, correct?
That's true. I mean, certainly there were accusations that he weighed in and became editorial on some things, but journalism, as I think most of us grew to think of it, was more a down the middle, hear what both sides say, rather than forcing views down someone's throat and censoring information they don't want you to hear, which is where we kind of have landed today.
So let me ask you, what exactly happened to journalism then?
It's been a long road, and this book, Slanted, is, I now see it as the third in a trilogy, where I started talking about this around 2014 and Stonewalled and The Smear, which is, I'll just give you the shorthand, special interests and political interests and corporate interests figured out initially how to get their nose under the tent at news organizations to influence how we reported things. And then it became a huge industry once they figured out how to do it, of global law firms and PR firms and crisis management firms and nonprofits that figured out how to really speak to the terms of how we should report things, the language we should use, and maybe what stories we shouldn't tell. And now we've arrived at a place where I like to say they are us. We've hired them in news organizations, political operatives, and corporate interests. So there's no longer a distinction between, in many cases, the journalists doing the work and the propagandists who are trying to shape public opinion, and we're sort of one and the same.
Yeah, that is a great point. Cheryl Atkinson is joining us now. Her latest book is called Slanted, and it is about, well, do I say the death or do I say the care facility for journalism? Is it ever coming back?
Well, I do think, you know, I like to be optimistic about it, but I see signs of hope in the fact that as much as narratives now successfully permeate in every corner of our information landscape in the ways that I describe, there are tens of millions of Americans who aren't buying it, who are walking away from the attempts to curate our information, whether it's our news or our social media, to censor scientific studies and viewpoints that people don't want us to hear. They're walking away from that. And whether you support Donald Trump or not, the fact that he got tens of millions of votes, 10 million more than he did last time, despite the propaganda against him, a campaign like I've never seen, shows that there are a lot of Americans who aren't listening to that, who have grown wise to it. And there are attempts by people to recreate something that is freer once again from an information standpoint, less manipulated when it comes to news and pretty much everything, quite frankly, on social media that has become subject to this manipulation that I talk about.
Well, Cheryl, you mentioned President Trump, and President Trump has for many been a lightning rod, and there are many who would blame him for the current situation in newsrooms and folks who pretend to be real reporters and serious journalists. And for those of us who have spent a fair amount of time in newsrooms, as I have over the last 20, 25 years, when I listen to President Trump talk about fake news, man, I could run down a list of people that I knew that for years had been perpetrating fake news. He just, it seems that he had the temerity to shine that light on this nonsense that had been going on for a decade or more.
Well, perhaps his greatest accomplishment in his own eyes could be, whether he set out to do it or not, exposing the bias in the news in a way that it's undeniable, because I think for some years we still pretended we weren't. We at least had the facade of a firewall or the appearance of a firewall between news and opinion. And he made so many in the media, especially these conflicted interests that I talk about that permeate the media, lose their minds with his outsider views, the way he came into things and all. They revealed themselves and didn't even bother to hide that they were out to get him and didn't like him and wanted to oust him. And that's where we are today. There's just no longer any pretense. But let me let you in on a secret. And I talked about this in the second book, The Smear. Mm-hmm. President Trump didn't come up with the term in its modern usage, fake news. That was a liberal invention. And I tell you the nonprofit that started it, and I tell you how President Obama advanced it to create the market or to create the idea that we needed our information curated so that they could then step in and do exactly what they're doing today. They had to first convince us that we needed them to do it, because there was no public call for this before then. And the fake news, they started using it on such a regular basis when this was introduced in September of 2016, that Donald Trump, being the master marketer that he is, he turned it around on them and began using it against them, co-opted the term, I call it a hostile takeover, to such an effective degree that people now think Donald Trump thought it up and he actually just took it over from them.
Wow. All right. I'm going to have to go back and reread The Smear then to pick up on this. And I want folks to understand something. They hear Cheryl Atkinson, and people, I'm sure, remember the network appearances and need to be aware that your background is rock solid journalism. I mean, it has always been for you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but for you, it has always been about telling the truth.
Well, yes, and I guess I became more of a reporter about what was happening within my own industry when I saw that it became harder and harder to do what I had done for decades, and other journalists were noticing it at the same time I was, but were perhaps not in the position that I found myself in where I could walk away from my job mid-contract, didn't know I would come out with an independent program full measure on Sundays, a little promotion there. I thought I'd never work in the industry again if I were going to leave CBS and tell the truth as I saw it about what was happening. But let me tell you, a lot of people in the industry see the same thing, and I talked to many of them in my book who spoke candidly, reporters, producers, news executives who've worked at 60 Minutes, CNN, where I used to work when it was a news organization, and other people that are more traditional journalists that see the devolution of the news just like you and I see it. It's not your imagination, and it's not something that to me is even subject to debate as to whether it's occurring or not.
Let's talk about the narrative, because that is a big part of this. President Trump is clearly a liar. Just ask anybody who is, quote, reporting the news, and they can say it's an unsubstantiated claim. There's no evidence. There's no this. There's no that. Even as you present them with evidence. And not necessarily saying that you need to agree with this or the other, but here is actual, here's a pile of examples. And they continue with the narrative that, nope, Trump is a liar and anything he says clearly is a lie. When we flip that with Joe Biden, Joe Biden continually tells fanciful tales. I mean, and this is what has been something that's afflicted him his entire life. And rather than be called out for it, we're told they're gaffes. I mean, like an honest mistake, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's compare. President Trump actually misspoke at one point, and this is in the book, when he said the Republicans had won, maybe it was 4 out of 5 special elections when they had won 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. And actually, the New York Times calls that a lie when a lie, and I talk about this in depth in the book, requires you to get in somebody's mind and know that they were intentionally trying to deceive versus making something that was just unintentional. I don't see how you qualify that as a lie unless somehow you're able to prove that he, Donald Trump, knew it was 3, but said it was 4 with an intent to deceive. And, you know, I think that's a little ridiculous, but it shows how they're counting his mistakes as lies. And then on the other hand, like you say, whether it's Biden or other figures on that side of the political spectrum, they can say all kinds of things that are written off, either not mentioned at all or written off as just slip ups and gaffes. And this disparate treatment is really the tell, the giveaway that bias is at play.
It always amazed me with Joe Biden, and I have to let everybody know and remind everybody, I grew up in Philadelphia, and I watched Biden for years, and Biden was what he's always been. He's kind of been this second-tier, schlocky sort of a guy. And I can remember him yelling at a reporter, you know, I have 12 degrees and I graduated at the top of my class. And well, it was all nonsense. And unless he, like many of us, slept through 1 or 2 college classes, he had to be aware, right? He didn't have 2 separate degrees. He didn't finish number 1 in his law school class. But again, we're told they're not lies. Somehow they're, I don't even know how you would describe them. They're mulligans?
Well, the media called him out at the time, and yeah, most people watching politics today probably wouldn't remember. But there is reporting that the media was pretty harsh on Biden for these mistruths, you can say, and misstatements that he made back then that have now apparently been forgotten, kind of gone down the memory hole, as I like to say.
Yeah.
While they're measuring his opponent, Donald Trump's lies or mistruths, you know, every second of the day.
Well, I think even Joe Biden's performance during the confirmation hearings for now Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and there's this one exchange where Biden goes on and says, you know what I'm talking about, and I know what I'm talking about, but everybody else doesn't really know what we're talking about. And he repeats it over and over and over. And the takeaway from just about everybody was, nobody knows what Joe Biden is talking about, apparently, including Joe Biden, you know?
Well, I agree that if you just look at, I'm okay with actually, you know, I shouldn't say I'm okay with.
Yeah.
If the media were to give both sides a free pass in cases,
yes,
like that, or to be equally critical of both sides when they do it, it would be a different matter. But when we sit at home and watch with cognitive dissonance as one side is offered a completely different kind of treatment as the other, then it's a little harder to swallow.
Yeah. Well, listen, Cheryl, I want everybody to get a copy of the book. I want them to follow you on all of your social media platforms. So please tell everybody exactly what the best way is to stay in touch with you and get a copy of the book.
Well, you can order anywhere. I mean, Amazon's easy, but if you don't want to order from Amazon, you can go to HarperCollins or other ways. And I write, as you may know, for The Hill and Real Clear Politics and Just the News, but I try to cross post everything at CherylAtkison.com. And then I have my Sunday TV show, Independent News, just like it used to be, like you used to love watching it. That's on Sundays. Go to CherylAtkison.com for this, click the Full Measure tab, and you can see where you can find that online. Actually, you know what the easiest way for Full Measure? FullMeasure.news replays the TV show and all the segments in it, even right now, if people want to get familiar with the kind of reporting. I think you'll just watch that and feel warm and fuzzy because okay. It's like we used to report the news.
Oh, I love it. Well, Cheryl, I appreciate you making time for us, and I hope that we'll be able to have you back again in the not-too-distant future if you're amenable.
Yes, indeed, and thank you so much for having me on to talk about it.
Oh, my pleasure. Cheryl Atkison, and I remind you, go and get a copy of this book. We've got the holidays coming up, right? And people are looking for things that would be great gifts. And a lot of things, as you know, you're going to have delivered. I would suggest that this could be one of those books that just about anybody, just about everybody who's interested in public affairs would really get a kick out of. The book is called Slanted. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.